The Sound of Hockey episode 286. We're calling this one the Mark Giordano episode. Why are we calling it that, Curtis?
Well, Mark Giordano had 286 shot attempts during his career with the Seattle Kraken.
How about that? His career, his long, illustrious career with the Seattle Kraken.
I believe 55 games, yeah. Inaugural season, yes.
And by a captain standards, it's the best a captain has ever done, that's for sure.
Most captaincy games by 55.
Right.
Everyone else is tied with zero.
Yeah, it's he did such a good job as the Kraken captain during those 55 games that they're just like, we can never replace him. It's impossible. We're going to have to just leave the captaincy.
It's like the captaincy has been retired to the rafters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the captaincy isn't actually that important.
I don't know. Let's put a pin in that.
But people get excited about it. Yeah. So, yeah. That's my hill that I'm going to die on, is that it doesn't matter if they have a captain or not.
All right. Well, we'll let you die on that hill.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Alone. I mean, Giordano's been on the mind for me just because with the Maple Leafs being eliminated, I wonder whether this is it for him.
Mm. If so,
what a career.
Yeah. Have you considered calling him Mark Giordano instead of Giordano?
I have not.
Okay.
I just call him Gio.
That's a good solve. Nice little workaround. It's like when you can't come up with the right word and you're just like, I can't think of the word I'm
name,
looking
you're
for.
Like, hey, man.
Yeah. What's up, guy?
What's up, big man?
How you doing there, Captain? It's a good full circle joke right there. This is Sound of Hockey. I'm Darren Brown at Darren Fun Brown on the X, joined as always by John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL 2 Seattle on the X.
Interesting rhythm. And Curtis. Hello, Curtis. Curtis Izaki.
Hello, everyone. Deep Sea Hockey on the X.
We are coming to you from Seattle. Also follow us at @sound_hockey. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/soundofhockey. We were going to do... So normally what we do for the patrons on Patreon, the Patreon patrons, the members, we'll do like twice a month-ish mailbag episodes in addition to the main show. So tonight we're doing a mailbag, and by tonight I mean this episode. We're doing a mailbag for the main episode, so that's going to be coming up in a bit. But so the Patreon folks, we're going to have something different for you next week, I'd say. Right? Does that sound accurate?
That sounds good, yeah. Okay. We've got a couple ideas we're working on.
We do have a 5-star review to share with you. This one comes from Oh Yeah Word. It says, by far the best Kraken hockey pod. That's very nice. It says, I've been an every episode listener of the Sound of Hockey podcast for over a year now. It is my favorite listen every week in terms of podcasts. I get excited in terms of podcasts. That's kind of, are you telling us that like even there's like music above us?
Mm.
That's a good point.
You know, we do have live music on this show sometimes at the end.
That's true.
Speaking of which, I did test out Hamilton, the first song from Hamilton, which I've sung on this podcast before, at a very full karaoke room on Saturday, and it went very well. So
were people into it?
Oh, they loved it. Loved it. So it might be a new go-to. I get excited every time a new episode drops. They're professional, funny, and knowledgeable, and it's just a great listen for any Kraken fan. That being said, I almost had to downgrade to a 4-star review after the last episode for lack of regional awareness. During the portion of the pod in which they discussed the What a Pro Wants commercial, they failed to recognize that one of the stars of the commercial was Chet Holmgren, Gonzaga basketball, and therefore Washington college basketball legend. Really missed the boat on that one.
That's a tough look.
That was
for
a
us.
Miss for us. I did know it was Chet Holmgren.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I did. Well, way to speak up.
But did you know he played?
I completely forgot that when we were talking about it.
Forgot it or didn't know
maybe
it?
Maybe I never knew it to begin with. It's possible.
But Oh Yeah Word says, I'll let it slide this time. Go Zags and go Kraken and keep up the good work. Thank you very much for that 5-star review. Yeah. And we do apologize for the swing and a miss.
Yeah, that's a shame, right?
For not recognizing NBA players.
Chet Holmgren. Yeah. Okay, so that's that. We have a little bit of an interesting show this week because of the mailbag. We're going to do like some Kraken related stuff. There's also just not much Kraken news over the last week, other than really the draft lottery, which not much to report there either because they didn't move up or down. They stayed right in slot number 8. Also, everyone else stayed in their pre-draft, pre-lottery position. So there is no movement. It was not the most exciting of lottery drafts. Yep. I will say.
Yeah, the big news of the night out of that was just that San Jose stays at number 1 and probably Macklin Celebrini's going home, quote unquote, to the Bay Area.
And so do you guys remember Macklin Celebrini. I don't know, Curtis, if you'll remember, but...
I remember his electrifying interviews from the lottery.
Yeah, those were exciting.
Those were something else.
His poor kid, they always do that.
I know.
Oh, it's so...
But
it's,
he was particularly nervous, I felt like.
Yeah, it's always like that. Connor Bedard was like that, too. It's just like, they're super young. Like, hey, come get in front of this massive national audience. And so, good luck.
Okay, that's not what I was talking about.
What were you going to say?
Celebrini has come up on this podcast a couple years ago.
Okay.
Andy was talking about his nephew getting concussed.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By a prominent up-and-coming hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
That was Macklin Celebrini. And at Andy's celebration of life last summer, I went and met his nephew and talked about the story that he shared. He's like, and they were like blown away that I remembered the story and probably that Andy shared it with us.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But anyway, it was just a funny moment. So like, that's why I will always remember Celebrini for concussing Andy's nephew. Mm. So yeah.
Mm. Well, that's kind of a nice story. I mean, not a nice story, but kind of a nice story.
He was fine. It was like, wasn't like, he didn't get knocked out or anything. He just was like a little woozy,
mm-hmm.
Which you would expect from a concussion. Elite hockey player. Yeah. So
I don't tend to buy into the NHL draft lottery is rigged narrative.
Okay.
But if you were going to rig it, I'm glad he's going to San Jose. That seems, it's a nice story.
Can I, here you go. You ready? Because I've had some takes on this in the past.
Yes, you have.
Okay. Remember we had Down Goes Brown on the podcast years ago and
I
was like, why is it so rigged? And he's like, well, you can take off your tinfoil hat right now because Edmonton got the number one pick. Never would have put Connor McDavid in Edmonton. Which I don't know, maybe they would have because that's a, you know, storied franchise that was struggling for a long time. Maybe they would have. I don't know.
I think anyway, they got enough number one picks for a while.
So isn't this funny though? And okay, I don't actually think it's rigged. Let me just state that straight up. I don't actually think it's rigged. Okay. However, this year they put media members in the room when they did the draw to prove once and for all it's not rigged. And what happens? Nobody moves up or down this year.
Well, and not only that, though, I think there is a little something for your tinfoil hat theory here. Mm-hmm. San Jose won the lottery 3 times in a row.
Okay.
They won for number one. They won the number two draw the first time. So they redrew because they'd already landed at number one. They did the number two lottery again. San Jose won again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did a fourth draw. And that time Chicago won. Mm-hmm. So everyone stayed in there. Mm-hmm. Same position. But anyway, San Jose won 3 times in a row. So there you go.
But they had the highest odds. Like, what the hell are we talking about here?
No, I know. It's just a funny thing that they won 3 times
It's not funny at all.
Maybe they should just stop doing the draft lottery because no one accuses them of rigging it when everyone just comes out in the same position that they went in with.
Can you imagine if Chicago would have won it?
It would have been bad. This outcome was good.
Yeah, it was a great outcome.
The Kraken could have won. That
would it would have been way better for Seattle. Yeah. People would have said that was rigged too, though, if Seattle had moved up.
I don't think
people would have. Yeah.
You know who I didn't want to see win other than Chicago?
Who?
The Ducks.
Yeah. The Ducks are, I've been saying that for years, though, that like they're going to be scary in a few years. And
no, I just think it's, they're just too obscure down there.
Oh,
yeah. Like they're under the shadow of the Kings.
Mm.
And, you know, I think having somebody like Celebrini, now, not that San Jose is like that much better of a market, but at least it's not Anaheim.
Right. Notice a hard M in there. Well done. I do wonder, though, about, I don't know, San Jose hasn't been drawing many fans lately.
They're fine. They're just in a rebuild, honestly.
And hopefully Celebrini helps that.
Oh, right? It's going to help. Yeah. It's good. It's great for San Jose, but I'm just saying from a market, when you think about marketing this kind of player nationally, I think that he lived in the Bay Area for a long time is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
mm-hmm.
our old friend Ryan Clark, friend mm-hmm. of the pod,
yeah.
sent out a tweet that implied that Celebrini would be the first junior San Jose Shark to make it to the NHL.
Mm. And is that not accurate?
No, that is not true. Matt Tennyson.
Oh, Firebirds legend.
Yeah, Firebirds legend. Sure. And now...
Broadcaster?
Slight friend
of the team. Friend of the club.
Friend of the team. So
it's funny. If anyone's been following the Firebirds and their postseason run here, it's, you know, during the regular season...
Save it for Down on the Farm.
I don't think this is genuine Down on the Farm content. During the year, it's oftentimes just Evan Pivnik, you know, riding solo. He's just carrying the whole broadcast by himself. During the playoffs, they had Nick Olchek yesterday, They had Grant Fuhr. Grant Fuhr does all the home games. But then they had Matt Tennyson and Eddie Witkow. All there. just a lot of commentary going on during the game. I was like what kind of game is this?
That's fun. Okay, we're going to get to Down on the Farm in a bit, but I'm not quite ready to segue there. Oops, yet. Kicked your table. Sorry, John. There have been a lot of moves. I think this is semi-Kraken related. There's been a lot of moves in the coaching carousel. It's been spinning quite a bit lately. So Rick Bowness, retired Winnipeg Jets coach. He has retired after a very long career. So that's a new opening. Sheldon Keefe was fired by the Toronto Maple Leafs. He put out a very classy video thanking everyone. And he included the media on that. He said, media, thank you for your process, which was kind of funny. And I don't really know what he meant by that. But I think the media's, you know, not that fun to deal with in Toronto. And by all accounts, he did a pretty good job of handling that there. So that's good. What else? Sheldon Keefe out. Travis Green hired by Ottawa. That one wouldn't inspire me. So I'm all right with that.
And Drew Bannister took the intern tag off his label in St. Louis.
Did you say intern?
Interim.
Interim. Interim.
Interim. I don't know what it is. You tell me.
So that means that
Mr.
the
Grammar
openings.
Police and spelling police.
Sir Grammar Police to you. I've been knighted as Grammar Policeman. Openings in New Jersey, San Jose, Seattle, Toronto, and Winnipeg. Any interest in Sheldon Keefe?
Might have a question on that in the mailbag, okay. But I would...
We'll put a pin in it.
Yeah, let's put a pin
in it. And yeah, I guess there's other coach talk probably in the mailbag.
Brubé seems to be the one that's maybe holding some things up.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the most coveted.
I wonder... I mean, I know he won the Stanley Cup. Would you view Craig Berube as coveted in Seattle?
I don't know
I don't
if it's a
fit. I personally covet him.
It's hard to say. What do you think? Like, we don't really know why they let Hextall go, other than not winning, right?
Yeah.
But was there something else that they felt? And we don't know. We won't know. We can speculate. And so the question is, would Berube fulfill that need?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Berube does feel a little bit more to me like the type of coach you hire if you think you have a team that could go all the way, you know, and the mm-hmm. Kraken aren't quite there right now. And I don't know. To your point, though, he might have options for a more near-term contender than the Kraken.
I think New Jersey would be a good fit for him.
I agree.
Actually. But I haven't even heard anybody speculate that, but that's, to me, is a good fit.
All right. Now, let's go down on the farm. Moo! I appreciate that you still laugh at that after like 3 years of me mooing.
It's Coachella, amazing to see it live.
Coachella Valley. I'm going to start doing concerts where I just moo the whole time. Coachella Valley Firebirds are tied. No, they're ahead 2-1. Oopsie daisy. That would have been embarrassing. They're ahead 2-1 in their series against the Calgary Wranglers. What have you seen in this series so far, Curtis?
Well, yeah, they dropped the first one up in Calgary, and then the second one went to overtime. Mm-hmm. And so I should probably add a little bit more context. The Firebirds had the option of how to structure the series in terms of when games would be played, and they opted for the option where they played the first two games in Calgary and the last three, you know, if necessary, going all that way would be at home in Coachella Valley. So they were in overtime up in Calgary on the verge of potentially going down 0-2. And to come home and win three straight against Dustin Wolf would have been a pretty daunting task, I think. But they pulled it out up in Calgary and then won a 7-5 shootout when they came back to Coachella Valley, which is just...
Not a shootout, but a shootout. Like lots of goal scoring.
Indeed.
A proverbial
with
shootout.
With the Wranglers.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so it's really been the vets who've been carrying the team through the playoffs. The young prospects that we tend to follow a little bit more closely have been a little quiet. I think Riker Evans has been playing pretty well. The other guys have been a little quiet. But
Shane Wright.
Wright's still, I think there's still flashes of what he's doing. It just hasn't amounted to points yet. But up 2-1. If they get through this series, they're on to 7-game series after that.
So. I have a question. Yep. You said that the Firebirds had the option to determine how it was structured.
Yes.
I assume there was only one other option.
Yes.
That would be 3 at home, then 2 on the... Or would it be...
No, I think it would be 2-2-1. Or...
Well, that's weird.
I think it would only be... I think there'd only have been one extra travel.
Like, okay.
I'm not rooting for it necessarily because I'd love for the Firebirds to close it out. But just calling it out, if they go to 5, I'm going to be there for game 5.
Oh.
Just saying. So that would be neat.
So there could be a silver lining.
There could be. Yeah. Okay. What else? So WHL Final is set. I guess it's called the WHL Championship Series. And this is fun because Jagger Furkus and the Moose Jaw Warriors will be taking on Tyson Jugnauth and the Portland Winterhawks. So both teams have a Kraken prospect. And that means that one Kraken prospect is guaranteed to go to the Memorial Cup tournament, which is exciting stuff.
And that will be the only Kraken prospect
that
in the
is
Memorial Cup.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
But it'll be three straight years with a player in the Memorial Cup.
How many did they have last year? Like three or four?
I think Robertson, last year was only Robertson, I think.
Logan Morrison go last year?
No.
Did Winterton not make it last year?
Winterton was the year before that.
Yeah.
Winterton was 22. Robertson is 23. And this year it'll be one of Jugnauth or Furkus, I think, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Speaking of which,
somebody will.
Prospect week coming next week.
Ooh, it's a big week.
And actually North Bay was eliminated, so that would have been Ty Nelson, but they were eliminated in the OHL playoffs. So that's that. Way down on the farm, Kansas City, the Mavericks, they're up 2-1 against the Idaho Steelheads in the ECHL. What round are they in?
They're in the semifinal. Quarterfinal.
Quarterfinal.
So the winner will go
to the semifinal.
Yeah.
That's the progression.
Yeah. That's usually how it works. You never know with some of these leagues, though, right?
It is true.
Because of the conference imbalance, sometimes there's like, there's kind of like some play-in games, like the AHL
I was actually going to mention that. I feel like the Firebirds having the bye through the first round is probably a great thing in the long run, like their ability to theoretically win the Calder Cup. But I bet it makes this technically the second round, but their first series, I bet it makes it so much harder.
Yeah.
Right? That game one, like, how do you just like...
I think they had 8 days off.
Right. Yeah. How do you just like come out and be playoff ready after that long of a gap when the other team has been playing playoff hockey? And meanwhile, the Firebirds had a bunch of like kind of meaningless games towards the end, you know? So tough spot for them. It is.
Life comes at you fast.
It does.
Yeah.
Real fast. That's our down on the farm. We also wanted to mention that PWHL playoffs are coming up. So you have Montreal against Boston and Toronto against Minnesota. They're going to be playing best of five series.
Those are on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, their website's really frustrating. It's not the first time I've gone to a hockey website that's frustrating to kind of navigate, but eventually I found information on it. So,
okay.
We're rooting for Natalie Spooner against Minnesota, right?
No. I'm just rooting for Minnesota.
You know,
what about friend of the pod, Natalie Darwitz? She's the general manager of Minnesota.
That's true. What's kind
of
cool, this is the format where you get to pick your opponent. The top seed got to pick their opponent. They chose Minnesota.
Mm.
Bulletin board material.
That is definitely bulletin board material.
Yeah. Toronto won the first game, though.
Yeah. Okay, let's play a quick game of rooting interests, and then we'll get to our mailbag. So we started rooting interests in the first round of the NHL playoffs. We have moved on to round two. So the remaining teams are Vancouver, Edmonton, Colorado, Dallas in the West, Boston, Florida, New York, and Carolina in the East. That's the New York Rangers specifically, not the Islanders. They have been eliminated, the Islanders. So we are going to play rooting interests where you can only pick one team, and we're going to say 1, 2, 3, and then you have to say which team you're rooting for.
Of the remaining teams? Or
I'll give the series.
Game by game. Okay.
Series. Okay. It's 1-0. As we're recording, it's 1-0 Vancouver in the Canucks against the Oilers. Ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, Canucks.
Vancouver. Wow.
All three of us.
Consensus.
All right. Let's also clarify, are we saying the city name or the team name?
You tell me. It's your
game.
Well, I said it's going to be Canucks or Oilers. And then I said Canucks and you guys
apologize.
Said Vancouver.
Yeah, I apologize.
Okay. We'll do team names.
Elaborate on not rooting for the Oilers.
I do think it'll be kind of fun to see them lose again after like what appeared to be like a pretty good, they were feeling pretty confident, I think, going into this Vancouver series and after the first round. So I think it'll be fun and maybe it'll disrupt things in Edmonton as well.
Game one was pretty magical. That was fun to watch.
Yeah. You remember what Will Borgen said about Carson Soucy at that preseason golf match? I don't like his game or his attitude.
Yeah, I do remember that.
That's how I feel about the Oilers. I don't like their game. I don't like their attitude.
Speaking of Ryan Clark, who you mentioned earlier, he was the only ESPN analyst out of 20 or something to pick the Canucks.
In this series?
Oh, interesting.
In the series. Every single analyst
it's
picked
one
the
game,
Oilers.
Right?
No, I'm not saying that he's necessarily right. I just thought it was very interesting, like how little respect the Canucks are getting based on that
group. I didn't anticipate a win either.
So. Very, I think they have a very good chance of winning, though. You don't think so? I think they match up pretty well. They
I say that, but
Connor McDavid
won.
From putting a shot on net in game one.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Stay out of the box.
Yeah.
Stay out of the box and they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's holes in Edmonton's game. There always have been.
Lots of net, too.
Lots of net.
Lots in net. Lots of holes in net.
And Stuart Skinner, you know, he had that rattled look to him in that first game, third period. I know that feeling when, like, it seems like every shot is going in, and they had the tip by JT Miller where he, like, tipped it off the heel of his stick. I think it went maybe through his own legs and then, like, just inside. It was, like, the absolute perfect tip. That's what kind of started the downhill.
That wasn't right. His tip.
And then it was like they scored again, and the building blew up, and you could just feel it. It was like, the next goal's going in, too. Like, that's just how it felt. Like, everything, no matter what he was doing, he wasn't stopping anything. So that's interesting. I think keep an eye on that. But I thought he got really rattled in game one. Okay. That was a really long first rooting interest. Second one, Avalanche against Stars. We're going team name. Okay.
Okay.
Just specify there. Avalanche against Stars. 3, 2, 1, Stars.
Avalanche. All right, John.
Go ahead.
Defend your Avalanche.
Yeah. Tell us why you're wrong.
I think they're a lot of fun to watch.
Okay.
I don't like that they've won recently, but that's my take. I don't like Jamie Benn.
That's fair.
I don't like Ryan Suter very much.
Okay. I had a nice chat with Ryan Suter recently. He was pretty nice.
Oh, that's encouraging.
Yeah. Nice to me.
I don't know.
But, you know, the reason... Okay, here's the thing. Help me understand this own phenomenon that's happening in my own head.
Okay.
The Kraken played both these teams last season.
They did.
Yep. In the playoffs.
Yep.
Obviously, they defeated the Avalanche in round one. They lost to the Stars in round two. Why do I have so much more hatred for the Avalanche?
I'll give you two reasons.
Okay. Is one Cale Makar?
They're both Cale Makar. It was okay. Cale and Makar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about the answer the bell thing at the beginning of the season year where
I didn't like that.
Logan O'Connor fought Jordan Eberle and allegedly, we know this, Jordan Eberle broke his hand in the fight, but Cale Makar never did that. And they did, somebody challenged him. I remember somebody challenged him.
Yeah. I think both Jared McCann and Yanni Gord challenged him, but nothing doing.
It's a little messed up, but.
Yeah, not a big fan. For me, in the battle between the Bang guy, who's the fan for
Dallas.
That's
a fair point.
And Cale Makar, I'm still going with the Bang
guy. If there were a reason for me to root against Dallas, it would be the Bang guy. Yeah. There's probably quite a few reasons for me to root against Dallas, but I've also picked them in my bracket challenge. Sure. And so I got to kind of stick with that.
By the way, I don't know if you caught the game-winning goal by Miles Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Right in front of the Bang guy.
I know.
He was standing, and he's like, "Oh,
I did kind of enjoy that.
Perfect.
All right, next one: Bruins against Panthers. I think I have a prediction for how this one's going to go, but let's see. 3, 2, 1, Panthers. Okay. What'd you say?
Panthers.
What did you say?
I said Bruins.
Oh, I'm shocked.
That's okay. A fun series, though. Right? Yeah, the games have been blowouts, but they've been very interesting.
They've been pretty testy.
Yeah, I like it.
Panthers have a lot more talent. I think the Panthers should win at the end of the day, but it should be, hopefully it's a fun series.
I like watching Boston, though. Yeah. I'll have to admit, I don't have as much hate for them as I thought I would at this point. Yeah. So
I'll take it.
Finally, Rangers against Hurricanes. I'm intrigued to see how this one goes. I have a prediction again on how this conversation is going to go.
Okay.
Mind you, it's 3-0 Rangers right now.
Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, Rangers. Don't care?
Yeah.
You don't care?
Not really.
That's not an acceptable answer.
give us an answer.
I know, but
you got to break this tie.
It's hard for me to know at this point now that it's 3-0.
You got to pick one. You have to pick
Rangers
one.
Then. Okay. Rangers.
So I was pulling for the Hurricanes mostly because if the Rangers lose in this round, the Kraken get a better draft pick.
That's a good point. I'm back in Carolina. Hurricanes.
What about Alex? You're not rooting for Alex Wennberg? You want Alex Wennberg to fail?
Seth Jarvis, friend of the pod.
That's true. Yeah. Good point. Seth Jarvis is very likable.
Yeah. And we may circle back to this. There may be a Kraken-related reason where the series going the other direction could be interesting.
That's right.
But
pin it.
Two pins
in the same subject.
Hold on, I got to write this stuff down.
I feel like we got to grab the pin board. I feel like we need to get like different sized pins now also, or maybe bigger cards. So you're writing it on a card. That's what's happening right now. He's writing it on a card, and then you're going to pin it on the pin board. Although I'm not convinced.
Leave it right here.
Okay. All right.
Because this is a little pin.
So that
we're coming.
It's
right
not
back
even going on the board. You're just going to put the card in front of you.
Yeah. It's like the process is it's on the board, and then I take it off. But we're going to talk about it soon enough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just take it off.
Is that thing about Ellie Tolvanen's contract still up there?
It's right here, actually.
Oh, that's...
yeah.
All right. So you just have a pile of note cards.
not a pile.
This system... I don't know about this system.
Yeah. It's better than the first 4 years we've been doing this.
It's a work in progress.
I do find myself rooting for the Rangers. Done.
Why is that?
I don't know. I've said it many times, I think, on this podcast, that at a time as a child, I liked the Rangers.
Okay.
I also, when I lived in New York, I enjoyed going to their games and stuff like that. There's some cool like stuff around the Rangers.
I genuinely, like my answer would probably be the same as John's, but the draft pick pushes me to Carolina.
What about this angle? You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Hurricanes get swept. Does that increase?
That's the pin. We just pinned it.
Jeez.
Let's move on to our mailbag.
We can take that pin out soon.
All right. Maybe we should start with that question so heavily pinned at this point. I got to find it, though. Basically, I think the question is, let's see. Hold on. I'm going to find it. Let me do some searching. Okay. Trev from the Discord says, how much stock do you guys put into the possibility of Rod Brind'Amour being our next head coach?
All right. Now pick up your thought.
All right. Hold on. Let me take the pin.
All right. We're taking the pin out.
Well, I'm not. I'm just going to check it off.
This is ridiculous. I heard the pen scratching.
Good.
Our listeners are smarter than this, John. They know that you aren't actually pinning that up on a board because we directly told them within the last 5 minutes. So here's the thing, and this is the intrigue about this series, right? Is like there's conflicting reports out there about, you know, they're going to get a deal done. Oh, no, they're not going to get a deal done. Oh, we don't know what's going on. I don't know. If they get swept in the second round, now maybe Tom Dundon takes an even harder approach, or maybe they just say maybe it's time to move on. Because here's the other thing that's kind of funny about it is, as much as like if Rod Brind'Amour became fully available on the market tomorrow, he would be hands down, in my opinion, I think he would be the most coveted coach. Wouldn't you guys think?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Having said that, he actually hasn't really like had that much
success. Yeah.
Considering the team that he's had all these last 5-6 years.
I would agree.
So great. I don't know.
Yeah. I agree.
He's had some
a little inflated?
Teams.
Probably.
And you know, people seem to love him, right? So it's like I do think he's a good fit for the Kraken. How much the question, how much stock do we put into it? I think if he becomes available, I wouldn't be surprised if they pursued him.
I think they would pursue him, but to your earlier point, I think he would have options. Even if there are some reservations about what he's done in the playoffs, I think he probably would go to the top of a number of teams' lists.
Well, and what we know about him choosing and staying in Carolina is that he's not necessarily looking for the most money. And I don't know where Seattle would be on the competitive scale, but I can imagine Toronto being maybe the biggest one that has the most money to spend there. So
sometimes I wonder if there's, you know, he's not coming from like a media frenzy market, you know?
That was my point.
Are you going to want to go into Toronto if you're Rod Brind'Amour? Like that just sounds...
I think he would like Seattle.
Yeah,
I think so too. I mean, and I imagine him and Ron are still friendly, if not friends. And I think he can explain like how it is out here. And I think it's a desirable market for a coach to be if they don't want to be in the frenzy and have to talk to the media 3 times a day.
This is, I liked this combination of questions. We're going straight to some kind of off the rails questions here, but there's two pretty similar ones, both from the Discord. One of them is from the Discord, one of them is from Twitter. McVeigh, our good friend McVeigh, says, realistically, who would make a better coach, Darren, John, or Curtis? What strengths do each of you have that would get you the job? Iced Kraken on Twitter also asked, the Kraken are cleaning house and replacing management with the Sound of Hockey podcast. Of the three of you, who gets the roles of head coach, general manager, and president of business operations? So here's what we're going to do. So those are the three options. Okay. On the count of three, we're all going to say what position we're taking. And you have to think a little bit about which position you think the other two would fit in.
Because I think,
let's see if we can get it right.
The three, I like this guy. I like this guy.
I've got some. Yeah. Well, no, but maybe we should do head coach first and then we each. No, because I want to project who I think should be the head coach.
Oh, we can come back to that. We can do that too. Okay. We'll do all that right. too.
Okay.
So my way is just gone?
No, we'll do your yours way. First. You'll do and then way. We'll circle back to yeah. the head coach issue.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we're going to do this on the count of three?
Dude, love it. Dude. Love it when I get my way.
Dude, seems a little crabby at night.
No, not at all. I'm actually in a great mood. You know who's crabby is Curtis. You know why? Because he is using a pocket pack.
You hear this out there?
With terrible tissue in it.
This is so, I got this from Darren.
It's playing hurt.
Yeah.
And
to clarify, if you didn't listen, it was yeah. that last week or two weeks ago. I was get complaining. Off my lawn. Yeah, it was a get off my lawn about the pocket packs because I was under the weather. The pocket packs of tissue that they sell, and it's just horrible, horrible tissue.
And I recall at the time just not being on board with this take at all.
Yeah, you were like, I don't care.
I was like, I don't care. This is ridiculous.
He's on
Darren
board.
Handed me this thing tonight because I have something of a cold. I've been using it. And these things are essentially just pieces of like 8x11 printer paper.
Just a loose leaf cardboard. Yeah. Hey, do you have a pack of loose leaf? My nose is really dripping here.
So you're saying there are no... Okay, we got to get back on topic.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
All right. So the positions are head coach, general manager, and president of business operations. On the count of three, you're going to say what position you're taking.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
General manager.
You both said general manager.
Right. I figured that.
Okay. I would have pegged you, John, as the president of business operations.
All right. I think you're the only like the of the three guy. Of us that has any type of you know facility
why? I think I was thinking you would take president of business operations because...
Okay. You being Curtis?
Curtis, yeah. Okay.
Yes. You initially pointed at me.
No, I...
Well, we know you're not going to handle the yeah. business ops.
Yeah, I don't want, come on.
Yeah.
I see numbers. I'm like, I don't want
no,
that.
No, I just thought having a legal background helps.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. But I also...
Sometimes I'm the one to throw out some legal stuff here and you're like, oh, yeah, you have a good point there. So maybe...
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not a good idea. That's why I was thinking that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now is a good opportunity to circle back to the head coach. I think Darren as head coach.
I definitely, yeah. that's who I had slated for yeah. head coach.
I mean, maybe goalie coach, but if
yeah,
not,
I,
head coach.
I think I can inspire. I do think I can inspire, but I will say that like I'm not great with systems. I'm really not. I'm actually actively trying to learn more about them.
Yeah, you've been toting around a hockey systems book.
That's right. It. Yeah, as recommended by Allison L.
Great episode.
And I don't think I would be a good head coach at all. I was an assistant coach
for 1 year.
I don't
think any
year.
Of us would be a good head coach, yeah, to
I
be
don't
clear.
Think we'd be good in any of these roles.
But you'd be the... I once, the least bad.
Yeah, I once had a theory that no goalie should ever be a head coach, but there are some. Patrick Waugh, as an example.
Is there any Indeed. Others that, I mean, in the NHL that you can think of? It might be, I just don't know what position they played.
I think he's the only one right now, but don't quote me on that.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, good question. But back to who would make the better coach, what strengths do each of you have that would get you the job? I just gave mine. I think I can inspire the troops.
I think
I'd be great. I would be great with the media.
That's true.
They would love me.
I could coach a team effectively to tank to get the number one overall pick.
There you go.
I think now I'm changing my. I'm probably best for business operations.
All right. So we settled.
But
on
I just
what
thought
the podcast
if I had to place you, that's where I'd because of the legal background. So,
All right. Well, maybe we'll be co-general manager business ops together.
No, it's How okay. You can take it. You can take it. Yeah, and I can fire you.
There you go.
Wow.
And Baz, you can fire Darren.
Baz Av Joes. Yeah, I've got the shortest tenure of any of us in that situation. So Baz Av Joes has two questions. First one says, what role do you see Will Borgen playing next season? His 22 assists were a pleasant surprise this year. Does he get to grow that part of his game? I think the offensive part of the game. Oh, by continuing to partner with a stay-at-home type of guy in Big Rig / Dumo, or does he become the defense-first partner to Evans?
So I think Will Borgen is a pretty interesting player for this offseason. He has 1 year left on his deal. Then he's an unrestricted free agent after that. And what the team thinks of him, you know, I think is kind of an inflection point about what they do with the defense. Did they like what they saw with him in a top four role? If so, you extend him, give him some money because he's heading right into the prime of his career. Or did they, you know, were they not as impressed and think maybe this is more of a third pair in the future? In which case, he's probably going to get, you know, want more money or get more money elsewhere than what the Kraken want to pay. So I personally liked him more on the third pair, but that might just be my hot take. So
no, I might agree with you on that. I like him as a third pair guy too. Like he's a good third pair.
I think
guy.
He's a good third pair guy. I didn't love him on the second pair this year, and I know yeah. I think that has me out on an island. But
Oleksiak and Borgen were like awesome together in the playoffs last year, and I thought they were like pretty good this season. But I kind of thought Borgen, I don't know, he kind of like carried the mail. I thought in that pair.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Oleksiak, I don't know.
I think we have an Oleksiak question.
I do think Oleksiak kind of flies under the radar a bit.
I agree. I mean, I don't think people recognize the value that he brings in terms of like being able to clear out a massive area of the front of the net. Interestingly, though, Oleksiak has a little bit of an offensive side to his game too that you don't really think about, but he does. And so they're almost similar in that way, right? Like neither of them are super offensive or super defensive. They're sort of middle, which kind of works too as a pair.
Yeah.
So related, Baz Avjoes again says, do we sign a right defense to replace Justin Schultz this summer? It looks like a lot of back end talent could hit the market. And personally, I'd love to see us grab Brett Pesce to partner with Evans. But with Ty Nelson joining Coachella Valley, Cale Fleury, or even Ville Outavainen, those could be asked to step up, which would open considerable cap space to chase scoring forwards, which seems like the highest priority. I do think that that's 100% the case, that they're going to look for scoring forwards above all. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I think they only go after a big name right defenseman if, for example, they decide Will Borgen isn't a long-term top four for us. They trade him or trade Adam Larsson. I think otherwise, I think you're kind of trying to do with a kind of lower tier type of signing there and getting Riker Evans in the lineup.
So you're alluding to something I'm thinking about, is that if Ron Francis makes a trade, he could trade one of the D-men in any capacity. And then that would open the spot to add somebody on free agency.
And I think
I don't think they add somebody that more than $2 million a year.
So I know we've talked about this before. So as it stands right now, do you envision the pairs being Larsson, Dunn, Oleksiak, Borgen, Evans, Dumoulin? Is that what you envision? Or some mixture of
And
then one of...
I mean, what else would it be, right? At this point, right? But I do think it's possible that they add somebody in free agent or they make a trade. They're going to add somebody in free agency. I don't think...
A defenseman?
Yes, but... What they add in defense,
yeah. What
varies
on
what,
yeah.
If one of those top six get moved,
right?
I think they have room to do it.
You think a depth defenseman is coming
right now, if they don't trade
somebody,
yeah.
Okay, F Mammal,
like a Michael Kempney guy,
yeah.
Just kidding.
F, ooh, man, that he didn't last long. F Mammal, will the Firebirds win the cup this year? But man, was he shredded. Great. He was in incredible shape.
He's playing in Worlds, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Will the Firebirds win the cup?
They look pretty good.
Count of three, yes or no. Ready? Three, two, one.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah. Let's go.
We did it. Yeah.
Phantom X 182 says, what would you recommend for a casual hockey fan to understand the game better from an X's and O's perspective? Well, if only there were a systems book. Now, the one thing about that book, it is called Hockey Plays and Strategies. It's written by Mike Johnston, and I forget who the other guy is, but Mike Johnston is the coach of the Portland Winterhawks. It's really designed more for people who already understand it at least a little bit. So it's not really like a beginner thing, but it does teach you a lot about the systems. John, I remember Dave Christian came on our podcast years ago. I'm pretty sure he was the one who told the story, or maybe you told it. Somebody from the Olympic team told you that when they first took their eventual wife to a game, they said, hey, watch one player at a time based on position. Watch what that position does, which I thought that was really interesting advice. Yeah. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah. When he was dating his future wife, the story goes, Dave Christian, you know, he met her and he's like, oh, I'm a hockey player. And she's like,
That's what you do, like what's your job?
People do that? And then he, you know, would get her tickets to games and he would say, just watch the right wing the entire game, right? and then watch the left wing, watch the center, watch. And it was a great way to kind of break it down. And I've always wanted to do that myself, right? Because I think there's
I actually do it. Yeah, I do it sometimes.
So
because it's cool because like you see, you know, the center is truly covering the entire length of the ice. The wings are covering a certain section of the ice. They do move around and cover for each other and do different things, but they all have like pretty specific jobs that they're supposed to be following.
What's pretty cool is when we went to Arizona, we went with my my buddy Jordan, and he's a coach for UW, and he watches the games very different. He watches as a system instead of like individual plays or kind of just general flow. It's very fun to talk to him about that. So you probably don't have access to a coach. And maybe going to a game and watching one player isn't the most desirable. I would say there is a lot of YouTube videos out there. You got to be careful, like, to watch the right things. But one person I would recommend is Jack Hahn. I don't know if you recommend him as well. We should get him on the podcast sometime. He breaks down. He used to coach at the Marlies. And does a lot of, I think he's got a Substack.
Yeah. And he owes me a number of 30-minute chats for all the stuff I bought from him. So we could just use one of those for a podcast interview.
There I had one.
Oh, you had one? Yeah. Well, we can use mine for the podcast interview.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm sure he'd do it regardless. I think it's an excellent way, you know, and I think he breaks it down enough. And sometimes he breaks down with videos. Now, you might not want to subscribe for something you don't know if you're going to enjoy or not, but he breaks down videos, which has been very cool, about the double slingshot power play. Mm-hmm. You know, the slingshot is where you kind of drop it back to one person, but some teams do it twice and it kind of creates another kind of flow. And he's broken down videos like that. It's really awesome.
Yeah, he's great. If you do just want to watch an individual player, I'll do a shameless plug. I do a lot of videos on YouTube that are just Kraken prospects or draft prospects, but they're videos that are just one player's shifts. It's kind of a good way to, if you want to just watch one player, you know, 15 minutes, you can watch a player's entire game. You get a sense of what they're doing. Another intro book that's kind of below this book that Darren was talking about is Take Your Eye Off the Puck by Greg Wyshynski.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Goes through a kind of a high-level positions, systems. It's a light, fun, funny read. I recommend it. I enjoyed reading it.
Ryan Heinrichs on Twitter says, should Curtis change his name to Chris? Asking for a friend who wrote a 5-star review a while back.
There's a lot of paperwork involved.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
I can confirm there's a lot of paperwork. My wife did change her last name. She you know, when we got married, she took my last name, but moved her maiden name to become her middle name. And I think New York specifically has a lot of red tape. But I recall that she had to go before a judge. The judge required her to publish her name change in a newspaper. And for some reason, he was very specific that it needed to be published in the Irish Times. So then she had to go to the Irish Times. He must have been getting some sort of kickback, right, from the Irish Times. So then she had to go to the Irish Times, publish her name in the Irish Times, then go back to the judge. And obviously that's like an hours long process to just show him, like, look, here's my name in the newspaper. Mm. And then he signed off.
How about that?
There's a lot of paperwork.
So Ryan had a second question that didn't make into our consolidated list. So I'm going to read it now.
Oh.
That's okay.
Oh, before we... Why were you Chris again? What happened there?
He wrote a review where he said it was like John, Darren, and Chris.
Oh, he just
did a great job.
Didn't know your name was Curtis. That's awesome. I love that.
We love you guys. Chris.
Yeah. Okay, so what's his other question?
Okay, he said, serious question. Would you trade Larson and Wright for Mitch Marner pending you can get an extension done? I saw that proposed trade in Sportsnet article. Curious to get your take.
Larson and Wright for Marner. I think I would.
I think it's a no for me.
For one, Larson's not going to Toronto. I can guarantee that.
Oh, that's a John Barr guarantee.
Well, he's got a no move clause, and I just think it's not necessarily a market he wants to play in.
Okay,
that's what I would guess.
Interesting.
He's happy here, so I don't know. That's very clear to me. The right for Marner is interesting. I think you need to consider it. And anybody who says they don't want Mitch Marner is a psychopath.
What about Wright plus? Okay, so
that's a little strong.
So maybe Larson is the sentiment. Larson wouldn't waive his deal, his no move clause.
Yeah.
So, like, what other piece then could you replace Larson with?
Borgen.
That's a
Yeah,
I don't know if that gets the deal done though.
Well, I know, but I think Wright's pretty steep actually.
Okay.
It's also you need to kind of consider what the extension would look like for Marner as well, I think. Yeah.
So I want to be clear. I'm interested in Marner. I think any star player, I understand the reservations about him, but if he was a perfect player, he wouldn't be available. I think he's got a level of talent that you just can't ignore if he's out there. I do think, though, that the Kraken should be able to do a deal without Shane Wright. If it has to be Shane Wright, I might just walk away from that.
Yeah, that's if it's Rakoff, I don't want to do it, but I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's still one-sided for the Kraken.
This might be a little tease of our prospect week. It seems like John
might
like...
I would do Furkus, no problem.
Yep.
Okay, Wes...
Put it this way, I'll do Furkus and Evans, no problem.
For
Marner.
Right. Wes says, what do you hope a new coach brings with them next season? Basically, I'm curious your answer to Darren's question that Ron refused to answer. So when I asked Ron what he's looking for in the next coach, he didn't want to answer it.
He ramble off like 100 different things.
No, he didn't want to answer it because he said that would be sort of implying these are the things that missing. Dave wasn't doing.
Right.
And he didn't want to, which That's I thought was fair.
Yeah, that is fair.
Yeah.
So the two things that stand out to me are if a veteran player is underperforming, you'd be willing to change their role or bench them. Is one thing. And the other second thing would just be, you know, working with, I'd want a coach that is willing to and able to bring young players along because it's going to start this coming season.
Does Montgomery bench veterans?
He's been getting a little, he moves around lines a lot, but he doesn't. He's like kind of a...
Did Cassidy?
Cassidy is a very kind of like wears out his welcome type of guy.
Who would he sit?
That's going back a couple of years now. Well, Jake DeBrusk is a good example.
Yeah. I don't think he was that good, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, those are two things that just spring to mind for me. But
Jeff with a G-E-O-F-F.
Jeff, it's not Jeff.
Geoff, not Jeff, _12. He probably didn't appreciate that I pronounced that Geoff, I bet.
Probably
right?
not.
Yeah, Jeff, not Jeff. What is your dream player addition this summer that is at least a plausible acquisition, whether by free agency or via trade, and why is it Jake DeBrusk, John?
Did he say that? No.
No, he didn't
say
that.
Actually, DeBrusk is...
He didn't say that last part.
DeBrusk is somebody I think is a good candidate.
Yeah, could fit.
Depending on term and price, but I think you want to get a somewhat reliable or... almost guaranteed 20-plus goal scorer. To me, there's several out there, but you will take risks with the older they are. I think Anthony DeClaire is actually a pretty good fit. Yeah, DeBrusk, Toffoli, and DeClaire are kind of like three guys that have circled, but I think there's a lot more out there than those. And keep in mind, free agency is kind of weird, right? You think, oh, just go get so-and-so, go get so-and-so. The reality is like some of these free agents only want to like are targeting three or four teams, right? They only want to, whether it be timing with the Stanley Cup run or family or just a team that they want to go play for. So a lot of things need to align. It's not they just couldn't get somebody. It's sometimes they just didn't want to be there. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, the trade names that are out there, Ehlers with the Jets, Marner with the Maple Leafs, I'm pursuing both of those. The free agent, who's a little bit maybe like a tier below maybe the guys you're talking about.
You as the general manager.
Indeed. Yeah, as the general manager.
Previously.
Co-general manager.
If you don't get him, I'm firing you.
No, he's the president of business operations. We talked this out.
Yes, me as general manager.
I as the head coach will at least give my 2 cents, but you don't have to.
Although that kind of undercuts this next point I was going to make. I'm interested in Warren Fogle, who's on the Oilers. He's a... Ron Francis connection, though. He was a Francis draft pick.
John just groaned loudly. Yeah.
He's not a guaranteed 20 goal scorer, so I don't
think. Or a 20 game player. Yeah. Isn't he made of glass?
He's had some injuries. He's played more than 20.
Okay. How old is he? Is he an old fogey?
27,
28.
Get it?
Yeah.
Old fogey.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, I see.
Warren Fogle.
We tried to actually answer the question before the joke.
Interesting.
Jake Guentzel. What do you think about him?
Too expensive and risky.
I mean, he's currently $6 million. He's also 29 years old, so you got to think he's looking for one more like monster deal. And I think you're probably right that he's going to be too expensive for what they're looking for.
And because you're not going to be able to get somebody else if you're paying him.
I know that Sam Reinhart is theoretically on the market. I just don't see it. He did have 57 goals this year, which is insane, but I don't see it. I don't know. I could be surprised.
Just to give you perspective, evolving hockey just put their contract projections.
Yeah.
Reinhart, 10.9 million.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do that.
Gensel, 9.6.
9.6 for Gensel.
Both carrying a 7-year term.
And so if you're looking for a proven goal scorer, if you want like 30 goals in free agency, if you're looking at contract projections and there's evolving hockey, there are others. I think the one that kind of stands out to me, and I don't think I'd do this, but Jonathan Marchessault is potentially, you know, maybe a 3 or 4 year term on, you know, what, like 6 or 7, something like that.
Mm-hmm. He was a 5 this year. I think I said it before, I hate him so much. And so that means that he's
probably pretty good.
He should come to our team. He's just one of those guys that I just, 33 I'm like, years. God, he just boils my blood watching him play against whatever team I'm rooting
years old.
For.
33.
Yeah, that's true.
No, and that's the reason I wouldn't
it's
do
a good
it,
point. But here's one more for you before we move on from this. What about Toivo Teravainen?
He's an interesting one. I think he's the type, though, that I like the player, but is he going to get way too much in free agency where it's just a contract you don't like?
Yeah,
a few
potentially.
Years from now. I don't know.
And he's a little older. I think he's 29.
He is 29. Yeah. 5.4 million.
And his nickname?
Turbo. I know. I've thought about that. But then you could have twin turbos.
Wow. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. Twin turbos. The twin turbo line.
Yeah.
And Brendan Taylor only has 1 year left on his deal. I don't want to raise that prospect to the fan base.
He could be traded too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Oh, here's a related one. What do you guys think about a trade for Adrian Kempe? It says LA needs a goalie, and we happen to have a backup who had a pretty good year. Well, how do you define your backup?
Yeah. Who is our backup? Yeah. Who is he talking about?
Yeah.
I like the player.
I mean, Adrian Kempe is a great player. If they can somehow get him out of there, I don't know.
It seems like it.
Yeah, far fetched.
I like that. I mean, it's good thinking. I like the concept.
Yeah. Shad McOmber says, which is the greatest position of need to upgrade an offseason, centerman, winger, defenseman, and who would be top free agent targets? Well, we already kind of discussed that. I don't think they care that much about wing or center. I think they just need goals.
Scoring. Yeah.
Yep. I also think, I don't know, like their actual center position is still pretty thin now that Wenberg's gone. In theory, Shane Wright fills one of those spots. You got Maddie as a center. You have Yanni and then question mark, right? It could be Jared McCann. He showed that he can play center, but I think they want him at the wing.
Do you think that's pretty clear that they...
I think they want him on the wing.
I think they will add a player who can play center, but is it someone of like the Pierre-Edward Belmar type of level, you know, for a fourth line role, or is it something more? I think they're probably flexible to that concept for your reason. I think goal scoring is more important than getting like a second line center.
Okay. Jimmy Kloppman, in a Big Four sports mascot battle royale, who wins or what city has the best showing? Mm. That's interesting. Let's think about who has really ferocious mascots. You got to think that like...
I think New York's out.
New York doesn't
have them. I mean,
they're
like,
not
they have
a
the
big
Met.
Mascot town.
They have the Met, right?
Which Mr. Met is pretty awesome,
it's
as
good,
is Mrs. Met.
They'd get bullied.
Mr. Right? Met, remember that picture of Mr. Met flicking that guy off, though?
Yes.
There's some tude from Mr. Met.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm gonna nominate one.
Okay. Is this a city or a specific?
This is a city. Okay. I'm going to nominate Philadelphia.
All right. You got Gritty, the Fanatic.
The Fanatic. And then you got Eagles fans who throw batteries at you.
Yeah, and I think they have an Eagle mascot, right?
Who cares?
Yeah, that's not.
And then I don't know if the Sixers have anything.
Yeah. But just a big,
Gritty
it's just a big
and the Fanatic.
Bell, just a big bell with a crack in it.
Is it really?
No. Call him Belly. Like
that's
Pierre Edward Belmar.
Darren Brown, reach out to him.
You're not going to throw out the Richmond Spiders at all?
No, because it says Big Four.
Okay.
Big Four sports.
You don't think Richmond is big enough college to like justify sports?
I don't think so. Yeah. Well, I think that means like the Big Four sports.
Okay. All right.
Leagues. Richmond doesn't have one. So therefore, so
you're
it's been ruled
it.
Out.
You're going to hear about it.
I don't know. I'm drawing a little bit of
what
a blank
like
right now. I feel like
Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Okay. Okay.
I think that's pretty cool.
What is the Devil Ray mascot? It's
that I don't know.
It's like a. They have one, but it's like a cute, cuddly thing, I think.
And the bug. The bug is not.
And they do have like a weird like emo bug though too. There's Thunderbug and like Bunder Thug or something like
that. Okay. Oh, I was watching the Coachella game too.
Sure.
And they're playing the Wranglers in Calgary.
Right.
their mascot is Stormy.
Yeah.
The horse.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Like, I don't think the dog's very intimidating. The dog's great. I like the dog. Not saying anything bad about dogs.
With the big red tongue that sticks out.
Yeah, it attacked me when I was up in Calgary.
Okay. There's a coach that ripped his tongue out once. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Stormy is good. What about Denver?
They got that dog, Bernie. St. Bernard.
Bernie's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they have a horse. Yeah. Can you include the big blue horse statue that's outside of the airport?
That's good.
That's
scary.
Kind of a mascot for the whole city. That's called Blucifer.
Mm-hmm. LA, Bailey.
I thought about LA because the lion's kind of ferocious. But who else do you have? The ram is okay. There are a lot of teams in LA. So in theory, could you pool in Wild Wing there? Wild Wing the duck? Wild Wing is pretty BA in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys remember, there was a Mighty Ducks animated series that starred Wild Wing.
I don't remember that.
And he was a crime fighting superhero.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And he beat up bad guys with his goalie stick.
I think we're under serving. What about Pittsburgh? Anything in Pittsburgh?
The penguin is
ferocious.
It did play an important part in Jean-Claude Van Damme's sudden death.
Good point.
Yeah. I don't know. We're going to have to think about this a little bit more.
Seattle doesn't qualify, but the three are pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
It'll qualify soon enough.
All right. That's a good question.
Mark
Davis, in my humble opinion, the Kraken could use a physical forward who can provide net front presence, screen goalies, and tap and rebounds. Anybody available this summer? Or a draft pick who could serve this role? There is a big power forward draft pick at the top of the list, isn't there?
There is. Are you talking about Caden Lindstrom?
That's who I was thinking from Medicine Hat.
I don't think, from Medicine Hat.
He won't be
available. I don't think he's going to come straight to the NHL. I think he needs another year or two. He might be. He missed most of the season. If he fell to 8, I think that'd be a slam dunk kind of pick for the Kraken, but I don't think that's going to happen. In terms of free agency, there are some players who kind of make hay at the net front. Warren Fogle's one of them. But there are others. Like if you're targeting players that make their trade at the front of the net, there are a few options in free agency.
We've talked about this a little bit. Talks pucks too much at Talkin' Pucks says, after his end of season audition, it seems obvious Wright will make the team out of camp. Seems Evans will too. Are there any other prospects you think could win a job with the big club? Now, mind you, I think there's probably, maybe they'd consider giving one more prospect a real look. Count of three, we're all going to name one prospect that we think could have a chance. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Rakoff.
Carson Rakoff.
Yeah.
I didn't have one. Good job, guys.
Okay. You couldn't think of a prospect?
I couldn't think of a single one that could make the team. No.
Ville Outavainen, and they like him a lot too, but I don't know if he's quite there, but he is huge, which would be generally that brings some value.
He's an interesting one. I wonder if he could be the seventh defenseman or the first one called up if there's an injury or...
There are stretches with Coachella Valley where I just love his game, and then he'll do he'll have a game where it's just oh gosh, he needs a little bit more work. Maybe he can continue to develop in that kind of seventh defenseman occasionally drawing in, or maybe one more year in Coachella Valley. But I like him a lot. I just don't know if he's quite ready.
Kraken KB at Kraken TRE is the handle.
Okay.
Should the Kraken try to hire Sheldon Keefe, or is Dan Bylsma the most likely candidate for the head coach role? I still think that Dan Bylsma is going to be strongly considered.
Right, but let's go on the record right now. Who's the most likely candidate?
I think Dan Bylsma is the most likely candidate.
Don't think that's saying much, right?
Is outsider's perspective, and we don't know who they're talking to or who they're going to talk to. And I'm going to go out right now and just say any speculation you see about they've interviewed this guy, they've talked to this person, I would almost ignore it, because last time they hired a coach, they did the Kansas City shuffle, and we were so certain that they were going one direction, and then they hired Dave Hextall, and nobody had even whispered Dave Hextall's name in advance of that. So I wouldn't worry too much about what's being said out there. You'll know that they've hired a coach when they hire their coach. That's going to be how it goes, in my opinion. But Dan Bylsma still makes a lot of sense. So if you're looking at it from the outside, right, who is somebody that has a tie to the organization, that's well-liked by the players that play for him, and has won a Stanley Cup? Dan Bylsma. You can't ignore that. So I still think it makes a lot of sense. Are there other candidates that they would consider? And if they were able to land them over Bylsma, would they take them? Maybe, you know,
and I think I don't know. We've talked about this. We're not even sure if Bylsma wants to be here. And he gave an interview when the rumor started speculating down there, and he kind of shot it down pretty emphatically, not like they were focused. And it's hard to get a good, accurate read because they're heading into the AHL playoffs, but it was very compelling how quick he shut it down. And you know, he's got to be a different coach down there than he would be up here. So it's not necessarily that that translates. But I think, yes, he's probably the odds-on favorite, but that doesn't mean he's more than 20% chance. I really like your Dean Evanson call.
Yeah.
And
thanks, John. Yeah,
I'm coming around to that just because I'm learning a little bit more about him as well. Mm-hmm. That's who I'd put second.
Behind
best odds.
Second most likely. If you were if you were putting odds out there, you'd give the highest odds to Bylsma still.
Yeah.
And with that interview.
And it's but that interview kind of made it me think that's probably not gonna happen. So
okay.
It is amazing that like how little information gets out of this team.
Yeah.
I know. And I think that's going to continue.
Ginkgo Balboa says, can we get a Crow update? I am happy to report that the Crows have seemingly moved on. They're really not eating my lawn anymore, so that's pretty nice. They did some good damage, but I think that they were eating grubs under the ground, and apparently those grubs are an invasive species. So maybe that indicates that they've gotten all the grubs.
How's the lawn looking?
I mean, that section looks pretty rough.
Still a little haggard?
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, in theory, I can put down some grass seed and hopefully that'll fix it. Rabbits have been, they've been around.
Yeah, we got a lot over here too.
Before the inaugural season, the Kraken touted the role of advanced analytics. Clearly the Kraken have a preferred type of player with 3 years of data. Is it time for an evaluation of the model? No, I don't think so.
So I think in terms of the draft, it's still too early. I think it's difficult to... You just don't have enough data yet on these players. Most of them haven't made it to the NHL. So I think, you know, the kind of general consensus is the Kraken have drafted pretty well, but I think we need more time on that. In terms of free agency, I don't know that I know there's been a lot of criticism of Ron Francis's free agencies. Maybe they haven't been perfect, but free agency is hard on everyone. And there are a lot of factors limiting who you can acquire that we don't know about. Like we were saying, I mean, a player might only really want to go to three or four places. So free agency is hard.
Who's criticizing him?
I think there is, this might just be an online discourse that I'm flagging something. But I think there has been discussion of the fact that Ron Francis's free agent signings with the Kraken, and then even going back to the Hurricanes, haven't been that great. In terms of his trades, maybe he's done better at that. But just purely looking at his free agency signings, that those aren't stellar. If you just look at them in isolation, and I think that might be true.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know. I think who's making that up, because you need to really look at all the available pieces, right?
He's not willing to shell out $12 million contracts
to Kadri, right?
Right. So
how's that looking?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, is he's very cautious with that kind of stuff. You know, he said the thing about like, well, we didn't make any stupid decisions right at the trade deadline. Right.
So. I think it's not so much about the players he's missed, from my understanding of this argument. It's more the players he signed that have not worked out, which I think it is pretty, I think it's fair to say some of his free agent signings have not been great. But my only point there, Schwartz, Grubauer,
well, the list goes on. See, that's the problem is you had to overpay at a time where it was tough to get players here.
What do you think about Burakovsky?
Burakovsky, I think, is an interesting one, but he's been hurt.
Yeah.
And so do you blame him for that? I think this season wasn't great for him when he was playing.
No, but I think at the end of the year, healthy. He actually started to look really good again.
Yeah.
And when he was healthy at the beginning of the year, he was leading the team in scoring last year.
Yeah. And I think I see some discourse about that, but it's more because he's hurt. And it's like, well, what the hell?
And my only point in all this is that free agency is tough across the board. No general manager is going
to
look good.
But I'd like to understand the comps, right? Not just pinpoint the actual signings.
Yep.
The one thing I'll say about the question is that you got to consider what was available, right? In the expansion draft, all that kind of things. Free agency being one, but also the trade-off costs or the opportunity costs of signing somebody or not signing somebody like Kadri, and what kind of handcuffs you're going to have if you would have signed that.
Right.
Grubauer's a fair one, right? But I think it's also a tough one. He's never been good at signing goalies. So, yeah.
He said that himself.
he admitted that.
So. Randy Reed says, these are two really quick ones to finish it off. Will you be coming down to Portland to watch the Furcus Circus this weekend? I will not.
I can't make it this
weekend. I wish I could this weekend. Okay,
that's
so
nose around. That's maybe, a no.
Maybe if it goes to next weekend.
Okay.
Maybe,
wow. Maybe. Last one. Espec's goalie girl says, since Dave Hackstall probably spelled that wrong. Nope. You got it right. H-A-K-S-T-O-L. Has been let go. Does his contract get nullified or are the Kraken stuck with it? The Kraken are stuck with it. I have heard that there's some scenario where if he were to get hired as a head coach somewhere, there's some deal that could be worked out where that new team like takes over part of his contract. I've heard that.
That's true. That's pretty common in the
but
NHL.
I think they're just on the hook for 2 years.
Until he gets another job.
Right.
Essentially.
So. And this is just kind of part of the deal with coaches in the NHL. As we've seen, there's a lot of turnover and teams pay a lot of coaches that aren't coaching for them.
Cost of doing business. Yeah. All right. That's our mailbag. Thank you so much for everybody who submitted questions. I think we got to most of the questions. There's a couple that we skipped because they sounded repetitive or like things that we talked about. But thank you so much for your questions. I think we're just going to wrap it up there. It's been a longer episode. We had some one-timers. You know, we were going to talk about like U18s and the men's worlds are going on or like getting started, I guess. But I think we can just kind of skip all that,
well,
right?
Well, just FYI, Oscar Fisker-Mogard is playing for Denmark.
Wait. Here comes your lone weekly one-timer.
Oscar Fisker-Mogard is playing for Denmark. I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but it was never really announced. But
you did predict it.
Yeah.
Accurately.
He is on the roster. Yeah. Well, I knew it. I wouldn't say I predicted it.
All right. And we're not going to do a full Tweets of the Week, but I have a tweet. It was Sarah Sivian, she says, she's just doing a Sheldon Keefe quote from his end of season press conference. It says, when teams play the Leafs, they set up the game for the Leafs to beat themselves. And then down goes Brown, who we mentioned earlier, retweeted it and said, I'm drinking. Somebody explain this to me. Thought that was good. I actually had another one, so I'll do my own segment here. This is also down goes Brown. I'm just going to read you.
Down goes Brown tweets.
Down goes Brown tweets, yeah. He says, let's check in and see how things are going over on Leafs Reddit. And okay, yep, that seems to be about right. And the first one is a picture of Carlton the Bear just saying, I want to die. And then the next one is Mitch Marner. And it says, thanks for everything. Now get the F out. Just total meltdown mode. Oh, man.
Too much Leafs talk.
All right. That's it for episode 286. Thank you so much to Oh Yeah Word for the great 5-star review. Leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it next week's show. Thanks to our Patreon subscribers. We'll have something for you relatively soon. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on Spotify. We'll talk to you all very soon for episode 287. Cheers.